Okay. Thank you, thank you. I'm going to re-say a couple of the things I said because I, just in case we missed it, but, you know, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" And I thought, because we are intelligent, we're intellectuals. We can decide what should be said, what should, you know, he would have never said that. Whatever. But anyway, churches are named after the gospel and the epistle writers without ever going by what any of them say. And so, without actually doing what Christ says, are we really his disciples? See, he said in John 8:31, he said, "If you continue in my word," the word "if," you know, "you continue in my word." What does that mean? An occasional encounter? Or what about if we took the word "continue" as we see it in the dictionary? It's almost meaning a nonstop thing. And that kind of what some of us have done. And so, anyway, we are only his disciples if we do what he said. And so if Paul was careful to give only the full counsel, as Christ's disciples, are we not responsible to go by what he's told us and to do the same thing ourselves? See, the devil has worked hard to make today's churchgoers back pickers and choosers. And let me tell you, thousands upon thousands will end up in hell because they chose to decide what they wanted to go by rather than allow God to convert them over to the little child mindset and thereby obey God's word rather than try to decide what part they wanted to go by for themselves. That's the weakness of the church. I don't think that part of the scriptures is up to date. I don't think that's for today. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit and had a glorious experience, and there was a guy that I was listening to on the radio, and you heard me say this before, but anyway, I had a lot of confidence in this preacher, you know, radio preacher, and he says that if anybody today starts speaking in tongues, he says it's of the devil. And you know what? It blew me right out of the water. I had a lot of confidence in the guy, and anyway, I went up to work, and I didn't have much work to do, and the Bible was sitting there, and I didn't want to read it. I know you can't have this kind of a thing, and you can't say, "Well, I'm gonna just open the Bible, and then whatever it comes to, that's for me." Well, that day I opened the Bible, and what the first thing I saw was for me. It was in Luke 11:13, and it says, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" What better scripture could I have heard? It turned me around. I remember laughing and crying, and I had the door shut. Nobody could know what was going on anyway. But, see, in his mind, this man, it was not for today. So here we sit, the great gift of God, the power source given by God so as to make real sons and out of his creation, and that even supernaturally provides the prayer way so as to worship God as God desires in spirit and in truth. As God has set it all up, what men fail to realize is that the devil is a master Bible interpreter. He is a master Bible interpreter. And he started out by interpreting the word to Eve that God had left them. And he knows the word of God very well, contrary to what a lot of people think. And he knows how to get men to swallow false interpretations. And in fact, the vast amount of literature on religious things that's in the world has a devil behind it. Even though it may appear in church bookstores or in Bible, you know, Bible, you know, bookstores around the country. I mean, we've been there, and I've looked at some of the books, and I said, you know, this one is written by the fundamentals, this one's written by the Pentecostals, this one's written by the charismatics, or by the the non-believer, non-Bible, or non-Holy Spirit believers. You could tell by the title. You could tell by reading a little bit of it. I thought if you drop in and think, I'm going to buy six of these books, and it's going to be a real asset to me, by the time you got through reading the six of them, you wouldn't be a believer. See, there may be some of the books and some of the things in the books that's real. However, without spiritual discernment, men will never make the proper association. The Bible says that many false prophets are gone out into the world. I mean, have you seen any of them? I mean, you should be able to, you could tell because they have a big sign on the front that says false prophet. And of course, I'm kidding. You don't recognize them unless you have spiritual discernment to, as you see them, or you hear what they have to say, then you see if it lines up with what the Bible says. And the chances are good that we wouldn't recognize one if we saw him or her. See, through John, 1 John 4, 1 through 3, God gave the perfect way so as to spot a false prophet or a false spirit. And yet, it appears that most of today's false prophets, most of today's Christian church is under the input of those false prophets that we are supposed to avoid. False prophets are everywhere. The great power of God, working through a man, defeated the devil, but the devil must hate. He must hate that. And so the devil has tried desperately to change the identity of the man Christ Jesus into a deity-type figure. See, thinking that if we see him as a deity, it would be obvious that that would be why he would defeat the devil. But he didn't defeat the devil as a deity. He defeated him as a man. Because he hung on to the Word of God. And his defense was, it is written. It is written. And I discovered that where it says that, you know, John, or in Matthew 4:4, where he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. That's out of Isaiah. I think it's in Isaiah. I'm not sure. I had it, but anyway, I got it written down somewhere. And so by making Jesus into a deity, it subtly changes God's plan for his creation. In Romans 8:3, it tells us that God brought forth his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Does it then matter how we visualize him? Does it matter how we see the only begotten Son? Well, it must, or we would not be constantly told how we should visualize Christ. And we are told that. We are told that he's a man. We are told that without the shedding of blood, I mean, who decided that? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Who decided that? And as such, is blood a humanity thing or a deity? If his Son is going to shed blood, does he shed blood and then become deity? I see the Bible at some point becomes pretty plain to those who actually begin to receive a love for the truth. And in fact, most churchgoers are so spiritually illiterate, I hate to say that, but for the most part, so that they go to a form of godliness church on a regular basis without even having a clue as to why or what they hope to accomplish. Why do I go here? It's a thing to do. I go because my wife wants me to. I go here because my mother and dad insist I go. You know what I mean? It's like, why do we go? See, the real people of God look for a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Does that remind you of anything? How about Abraham, by faith, looking for a city whose builder and founder was God? While the rest of the mankind spent a lifetime trying to figure out how to live on this earth. And when you see a day like today, I can see why they would try to figure out how to live here. In Matthew, okay, it wasn't in Isaiah, it's in Deuteronomy. I did have this down. Deuteronomy 8:3, where it says that God said, men shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. However, the devil has worked hard so as to minimize the every word aspect of the things recorded in the Word of God. The devil has worked hard. Oh, every word? Has God really said, you know what? God knows that in the day that you eat of this, you're going to become like Him. See, it's like, here's, you know what we have in Joel Osteen. Hate to keep picking on him, but he fits right into this pattern. You see, God knows that, you know. Did He really say that? You know what? In Joel Osteen, I heard that he has come up with his own Bible translation. Is that true? Have you heard the same thing? Lord have mercy. I wouldn't want to include that in one of these other ones that I have. The devil has worked hard. Okay. I would guess that the devil was suggesting to Eve, did God really say that all, say, did He really say all of that? Or did you maybe misunderstand some of the things that you thought He said? See, if the devil is able to cause us to doubt the accuracy of what we read or hear, then He is able to do a number on us as well. See, I've been a part of this group who wondered which translation was the most accurate, which leaves men with a feeling that maybe none of the translations are really 100%. If we don't know which one is really accurate, how do we know that any of them are? And I think that maybe Don Burnett and the intelligent ones of Community Chapel were also in that category, which then causes each one to feel that they have to get back to the original in order to find truth. And if that is not, has to be, isn't one of the dumbest things ever. I was going to say something, I'm not going to do it here, but the problem is that none of us are really as smart as we think that we are. We're not so smart. And so men can research the original and study to their heart's content and never find the truth, because truth is where the Holy Spirit operates. That's the course that He teaches. See, it's Holy Spirit 1, Holy Spirit 2, Holy Spirit, all the way up to the Holy Spirit as far as you want to go. Since the author of truth is the Creator, who also is Spirit, and which explains why only the Holy Spirit is able to guide men into all truth. It requires the Holy Spirit. See, if some men are given some of the truth, they still have no ability to present all truth. And so we have to believe the Word of God and do things God's way. And as such, the only way that God shows us how to acquire truth is through a right relationship with the Holy Spirit. You want the truth? The whole truth? So help you, God. There's only one way. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. Not that you could maintain it or you could hang on to it, but he has the ability to guide into all truth. By which, by faith, we allow the Holy Spirit to use the eternal Word of God to slowly create truth within us, and we are gaining momentum. Truth was not really a major concern to Pilate, nor has it ever been to most men. However, it is a big enough issue to God. Is it an issue to God? So that he brought forth a son to bear witness to truth. And he sent him forth to bring just truth. And when he brought the truth, those that he was sent to hated him for it. They resisted him. They wouldn't receive what he had to say. When it says they received him not, is that not telling us that they refused to hear what he was saying? They didn't receive him because he looked funny. They received him. They couldn't receive him because of what he was saying. They refused to hear what he had to say. However, since truth is obviously an issue to God, then without even knowing or wanting to know why, it should be an issue to all of those who call themselves Christians. But the other thing that is vital is the freedom issue. Jesus said that truth makes men free. Do I want to be free? And of course, the Jews were highly offended since their pride would not or could not allow them to even admit bondage to anything. They were under bondage, or they were under the control of the Romans, and they said, we're still free. And see, Jesus was talking about mainly freedom from sin. However, I am beginning to recognize other aspects of the freedom that comes as the Word of God gets written within the minds and the hearts of God's people. And so, whatever is not the truth is a lie. If it's not the truth, it's 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 a lie. That didn't take a Philadelphia lawyer to figure out. I mean, it's got to be one or the other, right? And if it's a lie, it makes it sin. And so, whenever the devil deceives someone and they believe him, like the Jewish leaders, Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. Why? Because the devil was deceiving him. They were believing it. Was that sin? They needed to be free from it. And so, when you believe the devil, like the Jewish leaders did, it put them in a state of sin. However, when someone continues in God's Word, through Christ, as the Holy Spirit is able to accurately use God's Word, he begins to replace the lies with truth, and then the power of the Holy Spirit is able to make somebody free as a result of truth replacing a lie. Okay. When I started listening to the Scriptures, I ran into a lot of conflict because the Scriptures did not say a lot of things that I was taught. And so I had to make a decision. Is the Bible right, or is what I was taught right? You know, and of course, it didn't take long for me to say, I don't think this is really that big of a challenge, you know. See, the power of the Holy Spirit replaces the lie with truth. And in my case, the overwhelming scripture support for the man Christ Jesus, overwhelming, versus the unscriptural God the Son doctrine, has caused me to be made free in a major area. However, I don't feel better than anybody else because of it. But I am thankful to God for His mercy upon me and for that revelation. I was just thinking of how pathetic men really are. The wise and the prudent that God hides truth from ignorantly think, and I say ignorantly, that they are somehow able to circumvent the ways of God, and by using their intelligence, they, in the Hebrew manuscripts, in the Latin and the Greek, by using these manuscripts, they can find the truth. But you know what? The Bible says God hides it from them and reveals it to babes and sucklings. And meanwhile, they disdain and look down upon those who God chooses to reveal the truth to. And remember what the followers of Jesus, they said they were pathetic anyway. And what is worse is that if they did accidentally stumble onto the truth, they probably would not recognize it anyway. See, that's the other problem. Okay, so you stumble onto the truth. You know, years ago, we had access to the truth of that Jesus was a man. This was through Brad Medla, if you remember. But you know what? It didn't really do me a lot of good because I didn't recognize it anyway. It wasn't until I started listening to the scriptures and the Holy Spirit got involved in it. See, truth is of spirit nature. It says walk in the truth or walk in the spirit or walk in the truth, see? And you will not fulfill the lies of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh. And so Jesus said the words I speak are spirit and they're life. And so, and unknown to most men, it requires spirit in order to reveal truth, so much so that Jesus told us that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide men into all truth. It requires Him. And as such, the all part of the equation eliminates man as a source of that degree of truth. See, He will guide you into all truth. You know what that eliminates? That eliminates all men. And by the process of elimination, and whether intellectuals like it or not, or agree or not, and of course from my 60 or more years of observation, and it has been about that long, I do not believe there's any other source of truth than the Word of God. And I think I began to see that about 50 years ago, but not, I didn't understand. And of course, if men refuse, and we're starting to understand, and they that understand will instruct many. Is it important that we understand? The scriptures are starting to cause us to understand. The sum total of all truth starts with the existence of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. So, anyway, how important is it that we listen to the Word of God? You know what happens as you listen to God's Word? God becomes more of a reality. One of the reasons is He slowly and carefully gives you a picture of Himself, but it's not a visual image. It's an inside image of His power and His greatness and His awesomeness. And the only thing that makes sense after a while is God. And so it says in Hebrews 11:6, where am I? I got to see what I just said. I don't know what I said. But anyway, okay, I'm on the right page here. Just bear with me and chalk it up to age. Okay. The truth is of spirit and nature. Okay. In John 17:17, Jesus places the eternal word of God as a source of truth. And I'd like to say, of all truth. And by the process of elimination, and whether people like it or not, okay, that I've been there before. The big thing that we have to do is believe in God. That was where I was at. The existence of God. And as such, God is truth and determines what truth is. And God also establishes the way in order that we find truth. God is the one that establishes this. In Hebrews 11:6, where it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And then it says that we must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's what it says. So the thing is, one of the ways that we know that we're starting to really believe in God is when we start believing that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Are you following me? Because then you will begin a different form of life, a different way of approaching things. In 2 Thessalonians 2:10, God has made it plain that in order to find truth, men must receive a love for it, and which messes up the minds of those who think they can find truth on their own. It messes up their minds. See, only God knows men's hearts, and therefore knows if they receive a love for the truth or not. And like I started to say, if men don't really believe in God, then truth is not even an issue. And as such, the world is filled with pilots who try on their own to come up with truth. And they spend a lifetime trying to form a mental image of truth. A whole lifetime. And of God. And so, when God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, and has in these last days spoken to all men by His Son, the thoughts of God were also the created truth, nature of who and what God is, that was in the Bible. The thoughts of God was what was put in the Bible, and which makes the Word of God an unknown and peculiar piece of literature, which makes absolutely no sense to natural-minded men who, we are told, see the things of God as foolishness. The things of God make no sense to God, and in fact, hell will be filled with those who saw everything about God as foolish. Some days, I can't make my hand work. I can't write properly, and so then I'm trying to decipher. I almost have to have a course in Egyptian hieroglyphics or something to read my own writing. And that's what happens. My hand, I'm starting to write it down anyway, and then try to figure it out when I get here. See, God has given men all the evidence of His existence that they need, that He considered necessary, to the point that He says that men are without excuse. And then He gave men the book, the Bible, that the world that would create a substance within men that would cause faith, that would cause faith, the substance of things hoped for. And through that faith nature is the only way that we can please God. And see, there's the writing that I'm trying to decipher right now. And how and why does this all work? You know what? It beats me. I don't know how it works. the things of God are without observation. It comes without observation. I don't know how it works. What happens when we hear God's word and it creates faith in us? How does it happen? I only know that it does work. And that is because God set it up so it would, and because this is all difficult to do and understand, and of course it is, and that is why we're told that few there be that find it. See, only a few by faith, and right now my writing is okay here, will spend their time on earth looking for a city or anxiously waiting for a new heaven and a new earth, one without sin or sickness and no death on it. And of course, we're looking for the things that eyes have never seen or ears have ever heard or has never entered into our hearts on this earth, that God has prepared for them, those who love Him. However, and somehow, these future things by faith have to become more important to us than all of the temporal things on earth. Like a lot of others, I have had my own difficulties letting go of temporal things. However, old age is an advantage. It's an advantage because there's not a lot of things anymore you can do. And the rich young ruler had the weakness and the ignorance of normal flesh to work with. And so he said, what one good thing can I do? What one good thing can I do? He set himself up. Or what about if I count my beads? Or help out at the car wash? Or wash the dishes? And of course, none of these things require that much. That was not what Jesus was referring to. And the rich young ruler was not looking for the answer that he got. And so when Jesus told him, he said, if you want to be perfect, what you do is you sell all that you have and feed the poor. And the Bible says the one good thing was not what he was looking for. One good thing can I do? Jesus said that the one good thing is this is what it is. And he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. It wasn't because of his wealth that was a problem. That was not the problem. But rather the position that it had taken in his life. The tax collector, who also was wealthy, said, he says, I will give half of my goods to feed the poor. He'd still be wealthy. And Jesus said that man went home justified because of that. And so anyway, it's a position that things have that hold. If the wealth in the tax collector, if that had been an issue, he wouldn't have given half of it. You know what I mean? He would have looked for something else. And so people get caught up in their riches until their wealth becomes their God. And yet God has blessed Old Testament men like Abraham financially until the Jews were convinced that wealth showed that men were godly. And they asked, Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And he says it's hard for a wealthy person to get into heaven. And the disciples were dumbfounded. And they said, well, who can be saved then? In their thinking, that was a sign of godliness. And as such, God is a stickler for detail. And when he gives us something like the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8 and in Acts 2:38, and men refuse to receive it or allow the devil to talk them out of it, it not only becomes sin, but it takes away men's ability to become the real sons of God. It's not only sin to refuse to accept it, but it takes away men's ability to become the sons of God. In John 1:12, in the King James Version, it tells us that God gives men power to become. And I want to say that even though we don't recognize it at that point, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. You shall have, but to those who do receive him, to them gives him the power to become the sons of God. That's the only thing that I know, that where we see the power used. And so we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon us, which will give men the anointing to witness. But what if God sets this up, his will, and we decide we don't want it, or that we don't need it? What if that's what happens? And like Cain, we decide to do things our own way. What if we do that? And because what God does not make sense, we decide it is not for today because it doesn't make sense. And so this is where every word and the whole counsel of God becomes an issue. And many, many people will lose their souls over this kind of a thing. I'm saying the whole counsel and the every word are two of the most major things that the church can buy. I had something happen early Saturday morning. It was as if I could hear and see. It was like, here's what, it was like a voice, but it was inside of me. It says, if the life that I, Christ speaking, if the life that I lived is the life that you live, and the words that I spoke are the words that you speak, then and then only can you ask and expect to receive. See, the flesh wants the most it can get with the least investment. Unless we point our fingers at the rich young ruler, that's kind of who we are. But we don't want to be. So anyway, God bless you. It got kind of maybe a little dull and boring, but
testimony tape then, or is it still recording?